Now that.
I mean, they're bluegill tree, but.
And I call myself a bill. And now.
Never ready.
Is ready? Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's March 28th, 2022 regular city council meeting. If you'd all please rise. For a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and wisdom as our city council makes their decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. I'll move to item 4D, or 1D on our agenda tonight, and that's roll call. Angel Garza had a family emergency and is out of town, and Maria had a emergency in her family, so she's going to be unable to attend tonight. So with that, I'd entertain motions to excuse those council members.
I'll make that motion.
Motion made and seconded to excuse Maria Quesada and Angel Garza from our meeting tonight. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. I'd like to move now to item 1E, which is our citizen input segment of the city council meeting. If there's any resident or person present who would like to address the Othello City Council, please raise your hand. I'll recognize you. And you can have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council? Okay, hearing none, I'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight.
I have a motion to approve the agenda. Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 3, which is our consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion tonight to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Motion to approve the consent agenda. Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now let's move into the business portion of the city council meeting tonight. First item on our business, our current business 4A, is the 2022 legislative session presentation. Tonight, Holly Kochi, our lobbyist from Gordon Thomas Honeywell, has a brief presentation for the city council. And Holly, are you present?
She's muted.
Oh, there she is. Okay. Can we? Oh, Holly, can you unmute your microphone, please? There we go.
Can you guys hear me?
We can now. Thank you, Holly.
Okay, can you see me?
We can see you.
Awesome.
Tonya's going to make you
upset. Right. I'm going to share my screen. Let's see. Here Okay, can everyone see that?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Great, so I will get started. Good evening, everyone. My name is Holly Kochi. I am the state lobbyist for the city of Othello. Give me just a second as I pull this up. Okay, great. So, thank you for providing our meeting today. I will just jump right in, and we have quite a bit to cover. The purpose of this presentation is really to just share more about what occurred during the 2022 legislative session, and then I'll dive into the city's legislative agenda, which was developed prior to session. And as you all are aware, the legislative agenda really provides not only myself, but the city's legislative delegation the direction we need as we advocate on the city's behalf during the legislative session. And then outside of the agenda, there are also policy areas in which I track and work with the city to decide whether it makes sense for us to weigh in, or it may be something we simply monitor depending on the bill and its impact. And lastly, I'll wrap up with some next steps as we prepare for the 2023 legislative session. So just to provide some context, the legislature operates on a two-year cycle that aligns with the state's biannual budget. So this year was the second session of the 21-23 biennium, meaning it was the short session out of the two, lasting 60 days, beginning on January 10th and ending on time on March 10th. Another important element in the 2022 session is that the legislature adopted the new districting act that will take effect for the upcoming November election. And what that means for Othello is that the 9th legislative delegation will no longer represent the city, and instead we will have the 15th legislative delegation representing the city. The Democrats continue to hold the majority in both the House and Senate, and for a short session, the legislature focuses on adopting supplemental budgets by making amendments or adjustments to the previous budget they passed in 2021. And in addition to passing budgets, the legislature also considers bills that were carried over from the previous 2021 session, as well as bills that were introduced this year. So a total of 1,051 bills were introduced in 2022 alone, and 309 bills passed into law this session. So with that quick recap, I will just share a bit about each budget. So the three budgets the legislature focuses on are the operating, capital, and transportation budgets. At the city level, you all often integrate the transportation budget and the capital budget into one, but the state keeps them two separate. So we're sharing in my previous slide that the short budget is dedicated to passing supplemental budgets by making amendments to the 21-23 biennial budget. So when the legislature comes back in 2023, they will start this two-year cycle over again for the 23-25 biennial budget. So moving to the first budget, the operating budget funds all state agency operations. This is the one you most traditionally hear about in the media. And going into the legislative session, it is apparent, based on recent forecasts, that the operating budget continues to trend upwards, and providing an additional $1.4 billion in state revenue that would need to be accounted for within the 2022 supplemental budget. So overall, the final 21-23 budget appropriates over $63 billion, in which $2 billion is shifted to the transportation budget and $650 million to the capital budget. And the legislature left $812 million in reserve. There isn't enough time to go over the numerous investments, but in addition to those shared on the slide right there, and those are more directed to local government-specific investments, the budget also primarily allocates funding for K-12 education, long-term care and developmental disability programs, behavioral health, paid family leave insurance, higher education, and housing. So moving on to the capital budget, this budget funds public and nonprofit construction projects, excluding transportation. This is the budget that the city often seeks funding within, and structurally it is funded by bonds that derive from a portion of the operating budget. So last session, the legislature kept about $81 million of bond authorization for this year's supplemental budget, which the legislature further adjusted, providing a total of $107 million bond capacity for this year. I'll just note that there were significant investments made during the 2022 capital budget, and in 2021 even more so. And that's why we received directly $500,000 towards the water utility conservation project that we are in the works on. So in addition to that bond capacity of $107 million, the budget includes funding from the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and the Federal ARPA Fund, along with a few other sources totaling in $1.5 million authorized within the supplemental budget. The third budget is the transportation budget, which is by far the most financially challenged of the three budgets. The major components to this revenue shortfall really derive from the decline in mass tax revenue collections and toll revenue collections. And to really further add to that financial obligation to the budget, the state has been mandated by a Supreme Court order to replace all state loan holders. So there already has been a lot of motivation to create an investment package because the current revenue streams for the budget are not sufficient enough to make any further investments. So it was announced at the end of 2021 that Transportation Chair Steve Toth would be filling the role as Secretary of State, which placed the new chair, Senator Marco Reyes, as the Senate Transportation Committee Chair. So Chair Five is the House Transportation Committee Chair, and Chair Leah worked together to pass a transportation investment package this year, in addition to the supplemental budget. And the package is called Move Ahead Washington, which is a $17 billion investment over the next 16 years. So this, all of this funding comes from one-time operating budget support, diversion from the Public Works Assistance Account, Climate Commitment Act dollars that they passed last session to generate revenue and increase carbon reduction efforts. Now, I would just note that roughly two-thirds of the investment package revenue stems from the Carbon Commitment Act dollars, which is assigned to programs and projects that contribute to carbon reduction efforts. And the remaining two-thirds of investments are dedicated to maintenance preservation, various mega-highway projects, addressing the state's fish culvert obligation and backfilling some of those shortfalls that were identified in the previous package, which was called the Connecting Washington package. So a lot to unpack here. That was just a quick rundown of the budget back half this session. But to dive into the city's legislative priorities, our priorities this session really broke down into three different categories. With the first focusing on laying the groundwork for a large request come 2023 to begin locking in funding for a water treatment facility. The second includes a policy change around transportation benefit district authorities. And the third is around a grant program that we have worked super hard on for the past year. So with that quick recap, I'll go over the city's top priorities one at a time and what we did to elevate each one during the session. So the first thing is to use regional water plan, which really umbrellas several priorities, both big and small, we have accomplished, and also continue to work towards to diversify the city's water supply. So the two we prioritized this session was to diversify and expand the city's water supply and to improve the city's wastewater treatment. And you know, we are getting closer and closer to having the information we need to move forward on a larger scale project. to develop a watershed facility. And as you all know, the Offshore Storage and Recovery Pilot Study is wrapping up this summer, which means we will have the information we need to move forward on a plan and a request for funding to move that plan forward. And our mission this year was to prepare our delegation for a larger request in 2023. So although we will be choosing representation at the state level for the city, the 9th legislative delegation is very invested in seeing the city through this one meaningful and has shared that they will continue to help in whatever way they can. So that is great. And to solidify those relationships and prepare for the new one, all of that was essential to this work. And we during session, we met with the current 15th legislative district senator Jim Honeyford and our current senator Schessler, and we met with them together and discussed this priority, which was extremely beneficial. So no specific funding request for this session, and given that it was supplemental budget year, the budget is already spent, and we now are putting ourselves up to make a larger request at the first year of the final year. So that is great timing. We also worked on requesting a reauthorization of funding for the capital budget fund we received for the Well 10 project. The total cost for that project was less than we initially expected, so $535,000 was remaining, and we were able to get the legislature to authorize the Department of Commerce to shift this funding to go towards the new water tower. It reduces the city's debt from $1.7 million to $1.2 million. So a small detail in the grand scheme of things, but definitely noteworthy and great things as well. Our next priority derives from a policy request to notify the city of Walla Walla and as well as the Association of Washington City. It was introduced in 2021, but did not pass, and was re-introduced this year. Currently, state law authorizes a two-time 10-year sales tax transportation benefit district through voter approval. And this bill would simply remove that two-time limit, allowing communities to go back to the voters every 10 years, as many times as they would like. And it's to choose whether they would, the voters to choose whether they would like to reauthorize that sales tax TV for another 10 years. So in 2017, that Ocala community approved a sales tax TV. So this would simply give the city authorization to go back to the voters again in 2027, in 2037, and so on and so forth. So we worked with CWC and several other cities who have sales tax TVs, and the bill made significant progress this session, but instead of passing in a standalone bill, the language in the bill was pulled into the Move Ahead Washington package proposal that I brought up earlier on. So great news there, and just simply provides more flexibility in reauthorization at the local level. So the city's third priority is one that we also included in last year's legislative agenda as well, which is regarding the Complete Streets Grant Program. This competitive program is managed by the Transportation Improvement Board and provides funding for communities to expand upon city street access with really an emphasis on accommodating to all abilities and ages. You must adopt an ordinance aligning with these goals, which Ocala did back in 2020. So we were able to apply in 2021, which was the next time around, and it is really a lengthy process as there is multiple nominators for the program that each have their own application process. So we worked on that for several months and were nominated for the Transportation Improvement Board consideration. And we also advocated during sessions to increase funding for the grant program. So we just received notice last week that the city will be receiving $400,000 from the Complete Streets Grant Program, which will go towards the main street lighting and other elements depending upon how the city decides to budget out the funding, but it is pretty flexible once we look at it. The other good news is that this grant program is going to be applied to. So every 2 years, the 2 year cycle of the grant program, the city will have the opportunity to go back and seek nomination. And hopefully, it can build upon the work that we've done with the $400,000 we are receiving this year. So definitely great news. And then on top of that, the legislature increased the grant program funding by another $80 million within the Move Ahead Washington package, which will obviously be distributed throughout the 17-year package. But it's a great increase to the program and just gives us another opportunity to apply and possibly receive even more funding. So, with that, and in closing, lobbying is a year-round effort. The accomplishments made thus far have required preparation and advocacy throughout NLM, and we have seen time and time again how effective it is to do so, and it is greatly appreciated to have all of you engaged throughout the year. Just a few next steps as we move forward and prepare for the 2023 session. I would encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to thank the 9th Legislative Delegation for their hard work as always. With the ASR study coming to a close and the city working on projects that we received funding for in the past, it's always great to keep them in the loop and honor them in person when we can do so, even with the switch in our delegation. And as part of our site preparation, you know, we work with you all to develop an interim action plan and next steps to really continue to elevate our top priorities and prepare for that 2023 session. And unique to this year, obviously, the redistricting maps will apply to the upcoming November election, which means we will continue to spend that time getting to know the three new delegations. The 2023 legislative session will begin on January 9th, and will be the first year of the new biennium. And to prepare for that session, we will need to update the city's legislative priorities on the agenda. And some were certainly accomplished, so now we can move on to other priorities. So with that, I will just say it is an absolute honor to advocate for the city. It's really exciting to go through all of the accomplishments that Bello has made thus far and continues to tackle each year. So thank you for the opportunity to represent the city. It is really such a privilege to be a part of this team. So thank you. And I'm happy to take any questions if you have any. I will just note I will be providing a more comprehensive and discussion type report that will go into a bit more detail that I just didn't have time to go over today on just some other policy items that may be of interest. But if you do have any questions, feel free to reach out whenever.
City Council?
Thank you.
I just want to thank you, Holly. I can't believe how much work it was on those complete street grants that you and Talia put in and the time you guys put in for those. Also on the other legislative agenda items we were working on. Just really pleased with your effort, really pleased with the results, and we look forward to working with you and developing new relationships with the 15th legislative district. So thank you again, and we just wish you a great summer, and we're going to be in touch here probably within the next month or two to start working on our priorities for
2023.
Okay.
Certainly, and thank you all.
Thanks
for your time.
Great. Okay, as we move now to item 4B, it's a public hearing on the zoning update and residential uses. Ann Henning, our community development director, is here to present a staff report, but at this time I'd like to open this public hearing at 6:24 p.m. And let's start. Go ahead, Ann.
Thank you. So, excuse me, like we discussed not too long ago, the Planning Commission looked at the uses along 7th Avenue, and even though it's mostly zoned residential, they're really more commercial uses. And so they made some proposed changes to the zoning to allow the existing uses to continue without interruption, and then would also allow potentially some new businesses in that area. And so in the draft, we tried to address issues that we could foresee. They limited the business hours to the same as the noise ordinance, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. There was a link to the parking regulations, which would be required anyway, but just to make it super clear, parking is required for those businesses. Limited to within half a block of 7th Avenue, just to prevent it from spreading too far into the residential area. And also address multifamily. There are some existing multifamily to allow that. And also included accessory dwelling units, because the ordinance was adopted not too long ago, and this just makes it clear. So it's not really related to the 7th Avenue stuff, it's just cleaning up this ordinance while we're already working on it. We've gone through all the technical process, the SEPA and public hearings and everything. And this is the second public hearing that's required. I don't know that I have anything else to say. The chair of your Planning Commission is here if you have questions or if you want information directly from the Planning Commission.
Yeah, Chris, you came all this way. You might as well.
Well, I'll add a little bit.
Chris Doro, Chairman of the Planning Commission. Just for context and understanding, this was an area when we had rezoned, when we had our meetings, this was an area we had identified for transition, and because of debate in other areas, it didn't get forwarded on. We had an opportunity to bounce back and reconsider it because of a commercial activity that had requested to be done on 7th Street. And they wanted a variance. And from a philosophical standpoint, what we like to do in the Planning Commission is not do things for individuals, but do things for the good of old fellow. What we have seen in 7th, it is an area in transition. It's not quite commercial yet, but it's also not residential anymore either. Between Lions Park and Scutney on 7th, you have 9 residential lots. The rest is some sort of church complex, commercial complex, or school. So we thought this was a great opportunity to recognize Othello's future growth, Othello's opportunity to utilize open space, as Chairman Lawless pointed out to us, and to allow the opportunity to put our toes in the water a little bit for that transition. We think that this recommendation addresses the concern that was brought up by the individual, but also gives the opportunity for all of Othello to utilize the opportunity. Someday, 7th is probably going to be a fully commercial street, and it'll have all the rules and regulations until then. If you look in what we put in there, we thought we put sensible options for possibilities that for churches that might get purchased in the future could be utilized for. We thought we put sensible opportunities for housing, and we thought we gave sensible opportunities for the commercial aspects that could be used in that area that all the folks and tenants already can utilize. You don't want to do an outright commercial, because if you do that, when people sell their houses, they would have a dramatic problem with trying to get loans in those areas. And that's why doing an exception and kind of putting our toes in the water seemed like a better way to go. Like you said, also I wanted to thank city councilors who helped us on this. On 2 of our meetings, we had multiple city councilors there to provide us some input. And I think with all of our stuff together, got a really good recommendation for you all to consider. And if you have any questions about it, be happy to answer them.
Council. Okay. Like to open the public testimony. Is there any public testimony tonight with regard to this proposed zone change in ordinance? Okay, with that, hearing none, I'm going to close this public hearing at 6:30 p.m. and ask for consideration for the council on this ordinance 1578 amending OMC 17.20.30 related to uses allowed in residential zones. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 1578 amending OMC 17.20.030, related to the uses allowed in residential zones.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion? Makes sense. Makes really good sense. Appreciate the effort council did in working with the Planning Commission. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And with that, we'll now move to item 4C, which is the Othello Housing Authority's request for utilities outside city limits. Ann?
Thank you. So the Housing Authority is proposing a project. It's outside city limits. It's within the Adams County Water District Number 1, which is the water purveyor. And so they have the first right to serve this project, which they have said they will. But the county, in processing the applications, is concerned that for some reason that the Adams County Water District won't be allowed to provide services. And so what they're asking is for the city basically to be a backup source to directly serve this project. And there's the process through resolution 2010-34 that I provided for you. Basically, the council would give permission. It just has to be documented in the minutes that they did grant the authorization. There are conditions that are attached there. And so it's a little bit different because this is kind of like the second option. Normally someone would come to you and ask and you grant the permission and we go through the process with the agreement and the contract and everything. Are there any questions?
Why was the county concerned? Did they give any reason or explain their concerns at all?
They felt like Adams County Water District, they got a letter in 2017 that the water district wasn't allowed additional connections. And they haven't gotten a letter since then rescinding that. So.
Is that the city supervisor?
It's Department of Health. So I did email the Department of Health. I haven't heard back anything. I don't know if it's really relevant or not. It's we're just providing some additional insurance for the county that yes, there will be water and sewer for this project, whether it comes through the water district or whether it comes directly from the city. I mean, in either case, the city is ultimately providing those services. It's just whether it goes through the water district or not.
So the Housing Authority would be responsible for putting in the water line and all that?
Correct. To city standards if it comes directly from the city, yes.
And extending the line.
Extending the line, agreeing to annexation in the future.
Yeah, there's a laundry list. That we do have representatives from the Housing Authority. The Executive Director, Angie, is here. And we also have from Farm Workers Housing, Christina, I forgot your last name.
Ruiz.
So is there any statements you want to make to the City Council with regard to your project? Or I know it's 52 units that you're looking to develop on that particular piece of property south of Tagaras Park.
Right.
And this just seems like a necessary step to ensure you guys receive the grant money you need to build this. And low-income housing is still a need. Any housing is needed in the Othello area. It's within our boundary, growth area boundaries. Ann was referring to a resolution, the city council set the policy how to agree to, you know, extend water outside city limits. And so that's what she was referring to, that the city would, the city council has to approve those, you know, the, that extension. And so that's what's being asked of the council tonight. So staff is recommending that, that we approve this request, whether it's, it, you know, to answer your earlier question, why was the county, I guess that this is what the funders are looking for, is an assurance that, that the water and sewer will be provided, and whether it's the Adams County Water District or the city, that will assure the grant. But apparently, their last go-around, they didn't have that assurance, and they needed that from the city council. So only the city council has the authority to extend water service outside the city.
So I have a question for Andy. So if Adams County Water Services, they get their water from the Adams County, when they add new lines in on, out there, are those required to be put up to city standards?
I don't believe so, but I'm sorry, I don't know for sure.
So by all rights, the city would be better off kind of trying to push, provide the water anyways, that or, you know, the line to put the standard.
So, you know, we provide the water to the water district, and it's metered at that point, and from there on, it's their responsibility. So
I guess I'm kind of asking, because if they don't put them up to standards, are we just going to end up wasting a whole bunch of water? That's what I don't want to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're paying for it or not, I don't want to see the water pollution.
And yeah, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question. I don't know that we have much of a say in it.
I don't think
and,
do.
You know, we have agreed that we provide water to the water district.
I don't think
and
we don't, Corey. We have no say.
I don't think it has.
But it's a good point, though. I like it. I like the point, but we don't have any say.
We've done sewer lining projects to mitigate some of the INI and flow that we have down mm-hmm. the sewer plant. And I've heard a little bit from Sean O'Brien about it. Is that in 52 units at gallons a day? I mean, are they two-bedroom units or three-bedroom?
They're a mix. Yeah.
Good. So, I mean, you know, we could be 20,000 gallons a day. Is that going to be a problem in our sewer system?
No.
No, not on our capacity. When we did the sewer lining project, we were getting infiltration of, well, I just know that our what we were receiving at the plant was 1.4 million gallons a day. And since we've done the sewer lining, we're now down to about 600,000 gallons a day. Mm-hmm. So we had a ton of infiltration coming to the plant. So it looks like capacity is not going to be an issue, for this project.
That would be my biggest concern, would be the sewage, or was my biggest, if it's not going to be a problem.
Okay, so
based on their location and in proximity to the park that we're taking over, have they asked to become part of the city?
That's going to be a condition of us extending the waters. They're going to have to annex.
Oh, they have that?
Yeah.
I thought they couldn't argue annexing.
Correct. They would sign an agreement that they're not going to protest it. They're like 4,200 feet away from city limits, so there's properties in between that would make it difficult to annex currently.
But we can embark on an annexation
mm-hmm.
Project that.
Well, then it would no longer be a District 1 water.
If we annex that property, that was the same question I had was mm-hmm. as well, if we annex that in, we're not going to allow a separate district to operate within our boundaries, are we?
I think you would have to. I don't know. Maybe Kelly can answer that, but.
We wouldn't?
I think you would have to allow it to continue, but I don't. I just, and in other cities, there are water districts within them because they existed before. So.
Is that
I don't think they're.
Do you have a comment?
I don't know. Sorry.
In regards to the question of, you know, if we annex, would they have to switch to the water system? You know, I don't know the firm answer on that. It's a detail of things that come up in annexation that you would look at that time. I can certainly look at it in advance. But what I've seen is that, I mean, just because you annex doesn't mean all of a sudden everything has to be switched to the water, to the city's systems. If you have the infrastructure in place for the district to provide water service, I'd say, you know, I'm 80% sure they would just stay with the district. I don't know that increasing the city bounds would change that, but it may. And that's something we'd have to look into in looking at an annexation plan.
So I'm not missing the point when I believe that this is going to be a new development, right?
Correct.
Okay. So one of the issues with running it through the District 1, is it's outside the city limits, and the rate at which your water utilities will be is 1.5 times the rate of a normal city water cost. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues down there now is that everybody that's on that District 1 is 1.5 times the normal rate. So it's expensive, especially when you're going to water your lawn with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were part of the city, you were annexed in, that would not be the issue.
Except they're within the boundary of the water district, and so the water district has the first right to serve them. And there's, mm-hmm. that's, I mean, just that's the way the law works, is
considering
that.
Considering the health department will let them hook up.
Yes.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, they can't choose to connect to the city unless the water district says that they're not going to serve them.
Right. But for tonight,
all right, well,
but for tonight, let's grant the request, and just knowing that there's going to be more details to work out when one, they need to receive the grant, two, they're going to then have to develop the circumstances of the utilities and everything else, and they'll be talking to the county, they'll be talking to the Adams County Water District, the city, Department of Health, etc. So that work has to be developed. But for tonight, they're just asking the loop to be closed so that they can receive this grant money. And, if it's if, so that's what they're looking for. So I put
that. There's not
going to
be anything completed. We're probably thinking late 2023.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot to be done still.
So I'd like to make the motion to approve the Housing Authority's request to connect to city water and sewer for a 52-dwelling unit apartment project outside the city limits, subject to the requirements of Resolution 2010-34 and contingent on Adams County Water District 1's declining to serve the project.
Thank you.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, Angie and Christina, thank you for attending tonight.
Thank you.
So you're going to need a letter then from the city?
Correct.
Okay, we'll prepare that for you.
That goes in with our application, which we're anticipating comes open here in June.
Okay, yeah, just let me know and we'll provide that letter.
Okay.
Thank you. As we move on to item 4D, I think this is a cleanup item,
yes.
Isn't it, Ann?
It is.
Accepting a quit claim deed, tract A, Ashwood Notch, phase 4.
So, Pete Olson from Olson Homes dropped off the quitclaim deed earlier this month, and I looked into it, and it was supposed to be deeded along with the Ashwood Notch Phase 4 plat that was recorded in 2015, so before my time, just to make that clear. So it just, the plat unfortunately never came to you as a final plat to formally accept it, so now we're just going to go through the formal process to have you accept that property. It does have irrigation facilities. It definitely is beneficial to the city to be, have ownership of that property. And so this is a, like the mayor said, a cleanup item. We just have to formally accept the dedication of that land.
Questions, council?
How that allocation, so there you go. I think that's only like a 10-foot wide strip of property, right?
No. It is 4,000 square feet.
So yeah, so it would be, it's about 10-foot wide from, 10 or 12 foot wide from 14 down to almost 7.
45 by 67. Can you pull up the map, Tanya?
I guess I looked at that. It's just north of Birch, but it's, and then just south of the ball field down there. So, oh, okay. I apologize. I thought it was that strip of land.
Oh, no.
All the way along there.
Nope.
The walking path.
That's an easement. No, it is that
I'll
right at the corner there.
I'll be right there. I
apologize. We need to adopt a resolution, council, to formally accept this dedication of Tract A from Ashwood Notch, Phase 4.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2022-05 accepting the dedication of Tract A, Ashwood Notch, Phase 4, Major Plat.
I second that motion.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Item 4E, current business, is a response to Sheriff Wagner's letter. Sheriff Wagner had sent the city of Othello a letter with regard to the Othello Police Department. He had sent that to various jurisdictions in our area, police departments, different counties, Franklin, Grant, Benton County, Moses Lake, Ritzville, Quincy, Freda, and Warden, and also the sheriffs in those counties, and the city. We've learned that there is some factual and information that was contained in that letter, and that we certainly disagree with. And as a city council, we want to respond to that letter and policies of the sheriff. Basically, the city is just really, we just want to rise above the pettiness and work, you know, together with the county sheriff. And I think that we can, with the city council committee, we can, and the mayor and the police department, we can work out whatever differences we have with the sheriff department. But we prepared a letter, and I just wondered if, Kelly, do you want to have any remarks with regard to that letter?
Sure. And happy to answer any questions anybody may have about the letter. The goal was to, as the mayor said, rise above the fray. However, at the same time, point out that the city does not agree with the sheriff's characterization of the law, along with actual authority to support that, as well as describe, you know, why we believe the sheriff's action of removing all general authority, agency authority to operate in the county is bad for law enforcement in this area. And and make sure that the record is set straight with all the agencies, of course, that receive that information, and make sure that the sheriff and the community is aware that the city wants to sit down and work things out with the sheriff's department for the betterment of the collective law enforcement efforts and criminal justice system of Adams County. And I think that letter achieves that goal, but happy to answer any questions anybody may have.
City Council?
Why would the sheriff not want to have an interlocal agreement or some kind of cohesive relationship with the largest city in the county and its great police force to help stop bad guys? The sheriff just seems, I think I've heard them say, they've seen tax in personnel and have made comments like that. So with OPD willing to help police the streets and keep the community safe, why would a sheriff want to do that? I guess that would be directed to maybe the chief.
Probably actually best be directed to the sheriff. I don't think that we really fully know why he's taking the position that he is and the actions that he's doing. I think he's really the only one that can answer that. I think anybody else would be speculating, or maybe not speculating, but giving their conclusions based on what they've seen. But we don't know if that's accurate. You know, look at in his March 11th letter, you know, he states that he had some, I don't think very well described safety concerns under the circumstances. I really can't answer that question, Councilman. I don't know. Yeah, it is. And I wish I did have an answer to that. But I don't think we really know, to be honest with you. So I think all we can do is address it on the merits.
Anyone else? Have you had a chance to review the letter, Council?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I think it sticks to the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not challenging.
No. It's just asking the sheriff to sit down with us and let's work out our differences. And I'd entertain a motion to send this letter to Sheriff Wagner in response to his communications to the City of Othello and the Police Department.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
You bet. Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is unfinished business. The unfinished business, Council, do you have any that you want to bring forward tonight? It opens tomorrow morning. They're going to put out signs at the old location that it's moved. The gates will be opened. We don't have the cameras installed yet, but I think Consolidated Disposal is going to be moving some containers, and they're going to clean up what's down there now that's on the ground, and we'll have ourselves a lot nicer facility, and that's what the council wanted. So,
up until the cameras are installed, will we be closing the gates at night, or?
I believe we are, mm-hmm. And we'll open them up again every morning, and then with the cameras installed, we'll leave them open.
Okay, so I have a question about the cameras. Have they been ordered yet?
I believe they have.
We were told back in November, mm-hmm. that we had to order now because it's 6 weeks minimum laid out.
Yeah, let me check on that. I think they've been ordered. We're just waiting on them.
If not, Mayor, would it be possible to call an IT committee meeting to discuss the reasons for it? If they haven't been with it, then we have one that's no water.
We can. As you've noticed, we've had a rise in graffiti in the community, and tonight, our police chief, Phil Schenk, has a report on what the police department is doing in response to this rise in graffiti. Chief?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. And this is also to piggyback on something Commissioner Darrow brought up two or three meetings ago, if I recall, and it's been a constant for most of us, and that's just the constant graffiti that we're seeing. We are seeing a substantial increase. If you saw our press release last week, we did actually arrest an individual. The judge did book him. I believe that was a 15-year-old that split off from one of our gangs. Now, so drawing on this, we're trying to find, I mean, everything we can to try to reduce graffiti in our community. We have game cameras that we have hidden around town. We have invisible alarm systems that we have placed around town. We've asked people to continue putting in ring doorbells and that kind of thing. So other things, and as I look on what did we do in Sunnyside to try to help push some of this down, when Mr. Darrow brought up the murals, it's like, oh yeah, we did that. And I mean, I actually led that effort. It was awesome. But I want to kind of show you some of what that awesome looks like. So can you go to the first slide? So we had a fence, and this is actually, I took this picture on Saturday in Sunnyside, and this was a fence that was constantly getting graffitied. I worked with the homeowner. This isn't the original art. It's actually gotten better. But I worked with the homeowner. I said, hey, we've got an idea we'd like to try. And then we worked with some schools. We had some art teachers in our elementary schools. Middle school was a big one, and a little bit the high school, and it grew from there. Next slide. There's actually this individual, and actually he's the son of someone I went to high school with, but his name is Chase Reese, or Reef, I'm sorry, and he's actually helping with some of this graffiti, and there's actually some more, or not graffiti, but the mural. I would much rather have that on a fence than the gang graffiti that we're seeing around town. Next slide, please. Now, this is a piece of art that he did, and it actually goes all the way around the building. This is at their community swimming pool. So it completely fits in theme with what they're doing. Next slide. And then this is something that he did this one too. But obviously in response to the COVID epidemic, and looks like in this case it was sponsored by Inkwell, which was a business that Dan Newhouse's wife owned when I was there. So I'm not quite sure who owns that now. But this is, again, very much community focused, fits within that community. Next slide, please. Now, this is the kind of the problem that we're dealing with here. This is a wall that continue, and most of you probably recognize it, but it's brick. It's a big open canvas. It gets hit multiple times every year. This is gang graffiti. They can get in, they can get out in seconds, and we miss them. Next slide. This was just painted over, but I mean, I want you to picture if we were to put murals, and I'm not talking about paid for murals. I'm not saying we go out and pay somebody $10,000 to slap up a mural and spend a year doing it. I'm saying we work with community groups, we work with our schools, we see who's interested and come up with some themes and maybe a competition to come up with the best murals for our town. And they don't need to be the big fancy complicated ones like you see down in Toppenish. I think just some of these artsy ones are actually pretty good. But if this is that boxing gym that keeps getting hit, or got hit pretty substantially, if they had a mural of some kids boxing or some people boxing, that would fit really, really good with that. And I think one more slide, or I might have two more slides. Now this is a target, y'all recognize this one. This gets hit probably 5 to 10 times a year. But this is the bathroom at Lions Park. It's been, that paint's probably pretty darn thick by now. But we actually, one of the bathrooms that, that we had at one of our parks in Sunnyside, we worked with the high school group, and they put a mural all the way around it. It was fairly dark. It was greens and reds, and it looked quite nice. That lasted years before it was damaged by graffiti, and then it was quickly repaired. So I didn't drive out and get a picture of that one, but that's basically, I mean, as we continue to see this, we've got to look for other solutions. And next slide, or I think it's the last slide. No, I got two more. So this, if you recognize it, this, everybody calls this the wall. Well, the front of the wall, we have a mural on it. That is Othello's mural. And it doesn't get hit with graffiti. But the back side is a canvas. And that one gets hit with gang graffiti very frequently. So that's the idea being, I mean, there's no light. They can get in. They can hide in there. I mean, we're not, unless we block it off, that's going to continue to be a problem unless we look for a creative solution. And then the final slide, please. Now, ideas. Crime prevention through environmental design tells us if it looks like it's looking at you, it makes you feel like you're being observed and you're not going to commit crime. And the studies show this. Now, also, if it's really complicated and dark, it's hard to get your graffiti to be seen because these aren't artists. And I want to make it really clear, gang graffiti is not art. We have taggers in our community that go out and paint on train cargo, what are they, I'm trying to remember what they're called, cars.
Boxcars.
And boxcars. And some of that can be artistic. Gang graffiti doesn't generally target that. They target our neighborhoods, our parks. They want to be seen, and they want to challenge people. So the idea is we want to make it less attractive for them to put that violence, and I'm going to say violence up, but when you see like NK or SK or those kind of things, they're saying Norteño killer. Sereno killer. It's a threat. It's a challenge. In Sunnyside, we would actually put dates next. When we'd have gang graffiti, we'd get bullet holes in it. We'd put dates next to the bullets in some of our housing authority properties where they'd constantly, I mean, if the graffiti is left up, we would have three times they would come by and shoot at it with people inside. I want to avoid that. So, looking at this, I mean, simple things like that dumpster that looks like it's looking at you, or for Othello, a picture of Shakespeare. The boxing gym, I mean, something with somebody boxing. The big eye is a demonstration of what that eye might look like. But then if you look down on the left, where we have a big building face with no windows, paint some fake windows on it. It'll still get that effect. It'll still help us reduce that graffiti. And then just the bottom right-hand one where just, I mean, it's kind of like the Starry Night from Van Gogh. I actually saw that in real life in DC. It was fantastic. But it's complicated enough. It's going to hide most graffiti that's painted on it. So they're not going to paint on it. They want to be seen. So what I'm bringing to council, I mean, we're looking for the enforcement angle. We need to do the prevention angle too. So prevention-wise, law-wise, I mean, we have a good law. It requires the landlords or the homeowners to take the graffiti down in a certain amount of time. Very difficult in the wintertime when the paint won't stick. Working with juvenile probation, they come out, they paint over the graffiti, they take donations, but they even pay for the paint most of the time. We're looking at an ordinance to actually require our businesses to keep the graffiti behind a counter or behind a locked cabinet so that, and not sell to anyone under 21 or 18. We enacted that in Sunnyside. And then finally, it's like I'm suggesting, I mean, if council would support, that we then go to our, we put out a call for real artists to actually create some art and concept, and then we commission it to get it done. So I'm looking for input.
I like the idea. I have a question. Do we have support from the juvenile courts or even the county courts to take these, say that 15-year-old and have him come in and start cleaning up every piece of graffiti we have, and that be restitution, or are the courts supporting us?
Often juvenile detention, juvenile probation is using juveniles, it is always juveniles that are in trouble, that are coming out and painting over the graffiti. And yes, looking at some of the surveillance cameras that we have out, the people they have painting over the graffiti is the people that are doing the graffiti. So we are getting that done.
You either get, two things are going to happen. You're going to get real tired of painting over stuff you tagged, or you're going to get really good at karate.
I love the idea.
Wax on, wax off.
I love going down an alley.
I'd love that on my fence, yeah.
Rather than, because graffiti, yeah, it's bad. The only question I have is, if you'll start doing this, they're starting to tag houses and apartment buildings now.
Yes.
With the vinyl siding. Vinyl siding, you can't just go paint.
Yep. That was kind of a new one for us with the houses you're referring to with the vinyl siding.
There's several of them.
And that makes it very difficult to paint. So obviously on a house, you're going to have to match the paint. Generally, houses and churches have been off limits, but that does not seem to be the case with this material.
I guess what my question is, if we start doing paint fences and regular buildings, the business buildings, like the old Napa building, starting down there, is that going to push them on, in your opinion, to paint more houses and apartments, garage doors, and...
I don't believe so.
Because I'd rather see it on the Napa building than I'd see it on somebody's house.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the houses are kind of an anomaly. I think you're still going to see some, like the housing authority, where it's a big white wall, where we don't have any windows. So that's one of the things, whenever Ann brings something to me, I always, or some of the plans, it's always, where's the windows? Because side faces with windows usually don't get painted. It's where they are not being observed. So we try to make sure everything new has got windows. But we'll be working with the homeowners. One of the things, the other things that we talk with crime prevention through environmental design, I'm gonna suggest that they plant some roses or some cactus or some of that Russian red stuff that's awful and is all prickly. That actually works. So we need to teach our residents and our homeowners how to be a little safer with their property.
I love that. I thought that was awesome.
I'll definitely give Chris the credit for getting my memory going again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief, appreciate it. Really do. Move to item 6, which is new business. Do we have any new business to come before the council tonight? If not, then I'll move to item 7, which is the council receiving the building and planning report and the planning commission minutes. And with no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:08 p.m.
This conference is no longer